morning. Is this on? Yeah. Thank you, Sherry, for sharing for the children. It's good to know and be reminded that we have a living Savior, and we're going to see him face to face one day. Those who believe will be with him for eternity. So I want to share for maybe, I don't want to say an exact time because sometimes it doesn't always line up, but I'm trying to be succinct and share for maybe 15 minutes, and I think Tim will share. But there's something that's been on my heart a little more, and it's about prayer and coming in unity in prayer and how the Lord really can answer. He'll answer our prayers as we come in faith and come in one accord. And I just want to build our faith in that and to be able to come in that way and come together in prayer. I want to start in Matthew chapter 18, and I'll read in verses 18 to 20. So this is Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 to 20. So I'll start in verse 18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in their midst, or I am in the midst of them. Now he says this after he's talking about dealing with a sinning brother, and I'm not going to go into that, but there's a truth there in here in itself, and I'll just kind of start in verse 19 first, because this is the point, and I was reading an article on this, and it just really brought joy to my heart. It says, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, and that word agree, now I don't know Greek, and I don't claim to know it, but I like to use the blue letter Bible tools and so on, and you can look at different words, and the word agree is symphoneo, and it's the word for symphony, and I learned this from an article from a brother that I read. But when you think of a symphony and how the harmonies come together and completely different than when you have someone singing, playing solo, like on a violin. You know, my kids, some of them play instruments. But when you put one violin by itself, but then you put a cello and a couple of violins, a viola, and a piano, and this everyone's playing in one accord, it's a completely different sound. It's a completely different experience. And this is how, when two or three brothers and sisters can come together in harmony and in unity that way, that's when it says, they ask, it will be done. And I'm going to say it will be done according to the will of God. Right? And so that's such an important, and what does it mean to agree? Does that mean, okay, or you're praying and then you just say amen together at the end? I mean, this is a harmony that I really desire with every one of us to experience together. No division. Just, again, use the natural example of instruments. If you have someone playing, you know, one piece over here and someone and then a couple people, everyone playing a completely different piece going together, it's going to be completely discord and it's going to sound horrible. And so if people come together and they've got maybe some division in their heart, a little dissension, maybe their own ideas, plans and ideas, everyone's coming with a different piece, different purpose, it's not going to be harmony. It's not going to be unity. And so, it's my heart's desire and prayer that we be able to have that unity, that we can come together and pray together and have that harmony and oneness in the Spirit. And when we do that, you know, just praying for our children, praying for our family, praying for our body, just the church in general, that people, that revival will come to our homes and even in our own life also. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I had just a few over for prayer, and it's my desire to do that again and invite more people and have times of prayer together. And I encourage you to do that even as husband and wife and as families, and invite, you know, other brothers and sisters over and have prayer together and pray for one another. It's very important that we do come together in faith and in prayer. Now, let's just look at verse 18, where it says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, if you look just back a couple pages or a page in Matthew 16, verse 19, when he's talking to Peter, and, you know, Peter says, Jesus asks him, who do you say that I am? And he says, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus answered in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Same verse there, but I give you the keys. You know, the keys symbolize authority. You know, when I got this new position, I got a key so I could open a door. I didn't have that key before. I couldn't open that door. You know, I didn't have authority to get in there. But Jesus gave us authority that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Now, does that mean that we can cast out demons? 100%. That's what it means. And if you look in Matthew 12, verse 29, Jesus talks specifically in verse 28, this is Matthew 12, 28 and 29. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? There's that word binds. And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So we have authority to bind the strong man through the power of the Holy Spirit. Does it just stop there? Is it just about casting out demons? No, it's greater than that. It's about binding spiritual forces. Forces of spiritual death that want to infiltrate a church and destroy it. You know, there's spiritual forces at work. Not just someone who's demon-possessed, but there's a spiritual force at work in the heavenly places. And what do those spiritual forces want to do? They want to bring division in a church. They want to bring confusion, conflict, bitterness, jealousy, strife. They want to bring people gossiping. These are serious things that will divide a body. Now, I think it's in 1 Peter, it talks about how a husband needs to dwell with understanding with his wife, lest your prayers be hindered. So prayers can be hindered. You know, if you don't dwell with understanding, there's going to be strife, there's going to be a conflict, division. That goes the same way between me and another brother. If there's conflict and strife and tension, and I try and come together and have prayer, how many of those prayers are going to be answered unless we make things right and come in unity and harmony? So the enemy, one of the key ways that he wants to disrupt the church is to bring division through some sort of conflict or some sort of judgment, or maybe it's gossip, slander, something in the heart. And then prayer is ineffective. You can't come in that harmony together. So I just want to encourage us to look in our hearts and to allow the Spirit to speak to our hearts, to tear down all those walls of division that the enemy wants to bring. There's spiritual forces at work. I just want to read in Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about spiritual warfare. And it says in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Okay, so those are the we got to bind those spiritual forces that are at work. It's not people. We're not battling against flesh and blood. So we have to get our eyes off of a person and say, my enemy is this person. No, we don't have, we might have natural enemies, people might be against us and so on, but it's the spiritual forces that are at work. So we want to love our enemies. We want to do good to those, even who speak evil against us. So we have to recognize that we don't wrestle flesh and blood. Now, that talks about, there's a lot of armor here, and I'm not going to go over, but I want to start in verse 18, speaking about prayer. Sometimes we can focus on all the armor, and then we forget to get to verse 18, where it says, praying always, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Are we praying always for all the saints, for one another? That's so important. And then it says, and now he's asking for prayer for himself and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now it's interesting. He's asking for prayer for him that he may speak boldly. And there is a time, and it says, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:18, I'm just going to quote it briefly. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, it says, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. You see how there's a spiritual forces at work, and Satan hindered Paul from coming to the Thessalonian church. And so here he's praying, pray for me that I might have boldness, doors might be open, that I might have utterance to share the gospel. Something we got to pray about. You know, it's interesting, there's a time when it says that talks about us being co-workers with Christ. Isn't that amazing that he can use simple vessels as us, being co-workers with him? I believe, yes, he brings us to share the gospel to people, and also to come and pray to him and call on his name, and we can be co-workers just through prayer and supplication. And in Romans twice, it talks about how I often planned to come to you, but I was hindered until now. There was a hindrance. In Daniel chapter 10, I'll just quote it. Actually, I do want to go. There's a couple of verses that are good to see. It says in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 2, it says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And so for 21 days, he was mourning and he was praying. And then it says in verse 11, Daniel 10, verse 11, and he said to me, O Daniel, now this is an angel that came to him. O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, and your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. So his words were heard from the first day. But it says here in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So this glorious man was hindered from coming for 21 days, but Michael the archangel helped. He was hindered because he was opposed by the prince of Persia. I read these things to just bring to light that there is spiritual forces at work. We don't have to fear. 100% we don't have to fear. We have authority in Christ Jesus. And when we come together in unity, there's power to bind the spiritual forces and to not allow bitterness and anything to come in our midst that wants to set into our heart. The Lord wants to bring is just a sweet unity. And I want to just finish with that, with a couple verses of this. What happens when we come in that one accord in Acts? Acts chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Again, I looked up that word, again, I don't even know how to pronounce it, but really that word means one accord. It's used only maybe 12 times or so in the New Testament, and 10 of those times are in Acts. And I think that speaks of how the church at that time was just in such one accord with one another. And I'm not talking about selling all your possessions and all living together in a commune. Not that at all. They had a oneness of seeking the Lord and just a precious fragrance together. That word there means with one mind, with one passion. And it's a unique word that combines two words that means to rush along in unison. And it's when I was reading the Blue Letter Bible, it's almost like an image of, again, they compared it to musical instruments and how there's just a number of notes that are sounded, which, while different, harmonize in pitch and tone. And so, again, just think of that orchestra and the instruments coming together in unison and in harmony. And that word is used in a few other verses I'll just read briefly. In Acts 1:14, it says that they all continued with one accord in prayer. And then in 2:46, it says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." And in 5:12, sorry, I am going quite quickly here, but just to give you the idea, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." And I'm going to finish here in chapter 4. Now, this is after that Peter and John, they spoke boldly. They're whipped and beaten. And it says that in 23, Acts 4:23, "Being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord." And then they prayed. And then after they prayed, it says, "When they had prayed, the place where they are assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." They were filled with the Spirit in Acts 2. Then here they are filled with the Spirit again. What does it mean? Did they lose the Spirit in between? No, they didn't. But we will come together in one accord. The Holy Spirit will come and fill us. Just as it says in Ephesians, you know, "Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." That means continually be filled. And when they were filled this time, they were filled with boldness, so that they're filled and they went forth and spoke with boldness. So just a desire to come with one accord with my brothers and sisters, to pray, to seek the Lord, not allow the enemy to bring a hindrance, and to just bind the strong man, and bind whatever's on earth will be bound in heaven. We have faith to believe that when we come together in prayer with two or three are gathered. So let's be spurred on to do that as a body, whether it's, you know, family inviting another family for prayer, or, you know, it's having deliberate times of a prayer meeting. We need to do that together and see how the Holy Spirit will work in us and through us. Amen.